You. How many realms do you travel to? Now, what do we mean by that? What are realms? Are they countries, cities, dimensions? Well, let's explore it in exciting ways with the author of a book who that I've read and love the book, and he's been on the show before. The book is Rippling Waves, A Spiritual Journey Through the Heart of the Universe. And we're talking with Anthony Teresi. And Anthony, welcome back to Energy Stew.
Great to be here. Thank you for inviting me back.
Well, I'm so glad to talk with you because your book is, to me, one of the more magical books I've read, because you've been on magical journeys through different realms.
True.
And you write about it so beautifully.
Thank you.
And so I want to explore that with you, because most people, you know, when they think of other realms, they might think of Earth and heaven, you know. And what is heaven? You know, is it just one big place in the sky? And even then, for most people who pass on, they might, you know, go quickly to the arrival station where it's not so complicated and it's friendly and reminds people of Earth. And then after that, there are other opportunities, and there are souls that are pretty advanced to begin with. And when they pass on, they actually have other realms to land on or in or work with. And then there are also our astral travelers and people who can be in advanced dream states of consciousness, lucid dreaming, and find beautiful dimensions and realms to explore. And, you know, and you can talk also about why your history has brought you this ability. You know, you grew up, how you grew up with the support to become a realm traveler.
Well, that was a very fortunate part of my early life, having the support of my family and having my family be themselves travelers in their own sense. Maybe not quite the same way that I did, because I went on to develop this ability through other means that I didn't even know I was doing, through music and through different forms of art expression and creativity, which refined the inner process, the inner sense of wholeness, of oneness. And really, you can't, but it's unlikely that one will be able to travel dimensionally without first finding that center within, which is really the doorway through which the consciousness can travel.
Right. So, and the Yoga Sutras are one place that teaches how to get there.
Right.
And, you know, by states of consciousness that allow you to find, let's call it phi, you know, the golden mean, which is a consciousness of harmony that can bring you into a place that can fit into, let's call, we might call them black holes, but they're certainly very miniature places that only being in that state can get to.
Yeah. And that completely varies with each individual. In fact, I saw a program stating that everything has all beings, all reality has somewhere in it a small black hole from which it emanates from, which I thought was interesting.
It is. But we don't know what that means.
Yeah, right, exactly. But I thought it was interesting in that it would seem that spirit would emanate from a source within each of us. And we probably wouldn't be able to actually see that source from that standpoint. But I'm getting off track.
No, but I like that because within us, every atom, let's say, has a miniature black hole in it.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Because you know it's animated. It's the life of all creation coming through. That's why when someone passes on, you see this body just drop to the ground because it no longer has that spiritual life force in it. So I think that that's fascinating to think about. But as I said, I found from my own reality was through music and through meditation and through education regarding the methods by which one can accomplish these things, I found that my ability to travel throughout dimensions came from my ability to focus within, and almost as if going through the top of my head or going through my heart or whatever situation presented itself. I think we lose sight of the fact that dimensional travel does not mean from here to the end of this universe. That's still three-dimensional. I mean, the stars are three-dimensional. We're talking about vibrational frequencies that exist in space and time in their own way. As my example of the flashlights points out, that they interpenetrate. And when you can realize that reality, then it becomes easy, not so easy, but it becomes a joy, quite frankly, to be able to lift yourself up through exposing yourself to more intense feelings of love and focus and the ability to then sort of materialize, I use that word in quote marks, at these various other dimensions and realize that there's a whole evolutionary scheme going on there that we have not even aware of that's taking place right here at this same time that we're in. And again, these are activities that are certainly not unique to me. These have been happening for thousands and thousands of years. The yogis from before Patanjali and all the philosophies have their individuals who have noted these kinds of experiences, but they're hard to understand because most individuals don't have the ability to, everyone has the ability. Most individuals have not taken the time to develop it.
Well, they don't have teachers or lessons to get there because you do need to surrender. You need to let go of the reality that we've been conditioned to and open to potentials. And how do you do that? That's why yogis were able to do things like that because they could, and I'm thinking right now of Tibetan Rinpoches and lamas who can do amazing things because they can get into these states of altered consciousness that allow them to penetrate into other dimensions. And as you said, it's not about going outside of the universe somewhere. It's within. And let's just say that if there are black holes in every atom, then maybe that those other universes are through the atom and behind it. And then that can open up into vast universes much greater than the universe we have.
Absolutely. And the fact that what we know about black holes scientifically is that all light from our universe disappears and all matter breaks down. But science stops short of saying that they feel that this may lead to a higher frequency, a higher dimension, which I believe it does.
Sure, you use it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there have been a lot of sci-fi shows about traveling the wormhole and getting from one, you know, place to the other. But I believe it's more of a dimensional thing. I believe that our dimension, the three dimension, stops right at 186,000 miles per second, which is the speed of light. I think that's the level point to where we reach. That transcending beyond that brings us into the next dimension or a different dimension from that standpoint. And the way that that is accessible is through focus of consciousness along with content of love.
That, you know, that's perfect. And, you know, because love is oneness, and oneness has no boundaries or no sequence to it. And so, the way then to access these other dimensions is to step out of, you know, for instance, the limitations of the speed of light, because that is dimensional.
Correct.
And so then people will go, but that's the limit. How can you step out of the limit? But that's the point, is that there is an understanding that the other side, the implicate universe, separate from the explicate that we live in, is only available through these wormholes. And yet the implicate universe is the universal computer that we all need to have access to.
Yeah, I think that these bodies that we have are constructed and engineered and created to function within these parameters of this dimension, which is why they fall away when we leave them. But we also have the eternal energy of creativity from source. And that is what we ride into other dimensions, even while we're here. That is what the ability is to transcend the physical limitations of our five senses, which are so limited, and be able to move beyond that and to realize that riding on our infinite soul spirit energy, identifying with that, becoming that, leaves an entire experience open to us that wouldn't otherwise be available. And your point is well taken too. Unfortunately, at this point in our life, at least in our country, these concepts are not really taught. It's three dimension, get your car, get your home, you know, everything is here. And the individuals who are experiencing these kinds of phenomena are those individuals who have had the good fortune to be able to realize that there are ways upward, outward, and inward that take us beyond.
Yeah. I just spent part of the weekend in a mansion out on Long Island, but in a very, very wealthy community. And the owner looked at me and said, "I don't want to hear any of your woo-woo stuff. I really love the
I'm sure. don't negate my lifestyle.
Right, exactly. So, but those of us who want more than abundance of wealth and of material wealth, we want an abundance of spirit, and that, and then we come back to the word of love, and not in terms of romantic love. In terms of more just universal being, you know, the concept of how am I part of oneness? Can I expand to oneness or shrink to oneness? Either way.
Whatever it may be, yeah.
Yeah. And be at one, and then what else matters?
Yeah. And what's interesting is that, speaking of one, you know, we tend to think of ourselves as these bodies. And when you look in the mirror, you think to yourself, well, that's me. I mean, of course, that's me. There's my face and my eyes. But we don't know that. I mean, at best, we could be a living grid that takes the shape of this body, but we could just be a very powerful light source that emanates away from the center of this body and animates it. So we don't really know physically until we get into that vehicle and then are able to ride that vision. And I think that's what I would want your listeners to dwell on, is that by identifying with your physical body, you completely limit yourself to your five senses. And if you look at your five senses, it's pathetic how small they are in regard to what's available vibrationally. I shouldn't say pathetic. I mean, we are who we are, but it's extreme.
It's so limited.
It's so limited. It is. It's just like, it's like one key on the piano. You know, kind
of thing. Right. But we also have to honor the richness that many of us came here to be on this planet with, all of the nature and wildlife and also loving relationships and family and having bodies that can do physical things that are fun to do. I mean, there is really a lot of positive to this third dimension, which is part of why we choose it. You know, we also come here for the lessons that we have to learn in this.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a beautiful planet. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, I'm so grateful. Every morning I wake up, I see the trees and the sky, and it's really a paradise. We're not treating it that way, but it really is. And you're right. There are two different kinds of love. There's the love that you just referred to, for example, love of family, love of children, romantic love, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also the love of creation, the love that we were created out of. And no matter what your prenatal circumstances were, you were created, you or anyone are created of a burst of love from source that brings life, that beats that first beat, that breathes that first breath. And that's the love that I'm talking about that you can ride.
But we can find that in our love for others.
Absolutely. In fact, often it leads to it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Expansiveness of how much our hearts care for each other, et cetera.
No, I mean, I certainly am not saying that we should go into a cave and just be, you know.
No, but some people, you know, years ago I was friendly with Kala Rinpoche, who had spent 26 years in a cave. And when he came out, everybody sat at his feet because he had wisdom from that. But it wasn't from just being in a dark cave. It was from meditating, you know, every day and going into these different realms.
Yeah, I mean, there are many ways, there are many roads there. And most of us, you know, have to exist in the planet, on the planet, and by means of our interaction with the planet. The difference, I think, in more of a spiritual sense is that you don't identify who you are with that out there. You appreciate it from within yourself, and you say to yourself, I'm having a beautiful experience today, but I'm not that car, I'm not that home, I don't need that to identify who I am. Who I am is far greater, far more beautiful, far more expansive than any of that.
Right. And I'm thinking that one state of mind to be in within that is to live in wonder.
Absolutely. I often use that, only I spell it O-N-E-D-E-R.
Oh, I love that. Good. Yeah, and that's really what wonder is. It's the potential of that unique spelling that you're providing. So it's, you know, this can take us to places that are beyond our imagination. You know, it's even, for instance, when I do intuitive work, I'm given information and shown things that I've never heard or known of before. And even when I ask about other dimensions and all that, the things that show up that I receive are like, wow, you know, and it's like, I wish other people could have the ability that I have to receive that. You take it to another level where you actually journey out there with it.
Yeah, and let me hasten to add that this has come as a lifetime work. I didn't just...
Sure, but that includes your music and just the different vibes that you've worked with in your life that have helped to expand your consciousness.
Yeah, and writing Rippling Waves, I think I mentioned on your first show, writing Rippling Waves is a story form of a lifetime's worth of experiences that have gone here, that have gone there, and in and of themselves wouldn't necessarily make sense. But put in the context of a developmental storyline, they bring to the reader the ability to understand the difference between some of these dimensions that I speak of.
You're just condensing the time of
exactly
to one journey, a spiritual journey, but it's a life of spiritual journeys.
Yeah, it was, I think I mentioned also, it was, I was counseled to maybe make this into a memoir, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to write it as a journey to include the reader along with me, to bring the reader along.
It works.
So that they, yeah.
I know it works. I read it.
Yeah.
I felt that I was really in the journey and so enjoyed.
Everyone that has read it says the same. I mean, who has really read the whole thing really says the same thing. If you really read it and you really focus on what it's saying, you will experience an elevation in your consciousness.
Right. I saw that and it was fascinating because other than that, it's a nice story. But there's so much more to it.
Correct. Yeah. I tried to write it as simply as possible, too. So because, you know, obviously these kinds of subjects, one can get very technical. And,
no, it's very well written.
Yeah.
You know, very easy just to enjoy. You know, it's like flowing with it rather than get caught up cerebrally. At some point soon, I'd like to talk with you again to actually explore some of the journeys you've had. You know.
Oh, I'd love to. I love being on your show.
Well, thank you. Well, it's so much fun talking with you. You know, and I think our audience are like-minded people who really are happy for us to have this show.
Yeah, Glenn. I'm happy to be here again.
Well, it's important also because the world right now is just being knocked around by all kinds of limited mentalities. And I think many people feel victimized and limited by the powers that be and frightened by the powers that be. And it's all third dimensional stuff. And there's something that I learned the other day, and I briefly talked with you about it before the show, is that viruses actually are a greater intelligence of in the morphogenetic field. And they are a species that has a large intelligence that has a job to do. And it's hard to understand it with all the science trying to break it down into limited ways, but viruses are also, they're not really being, they're intelligences, and they're very smart, and so are plants, you know, and for all we know, so are rocks.
Absolutely, it's all life.
Right, and so it's exciting to have the opportunity to jump out of this struggling world right now into this magnificent, unlimited universe that you present.
Thank you. And I think it's important to be able to have this, because it's so easy to get caught up in the tragedies and all the things of the virus and all that. One of the more positive things, I hope, that come out of it is the fact that this is a global experience that we are going through right now. And in order ultimately to come to terms with it, I believe that we are going to have to come to terms with it globally. And this is where the political breakdown comes into the picture. We're not really interacting the way we should as a people, as a planet, as a species. Some countries are doing this, some countries are doing that. And I'm hoping with all my heart that at some particular point we realize that the only way to eradicate this is to do it as a global village.
Join voices, right, and join intelligence together.
Correct.
Yeah. Good. Well, that's optimistic. Great. Yeah. So we will, I'm sure we will be meeting again.
Absolutely.
And where can people find you?
AnthonyTeresi.com. AnthonyTeresi.com. Yeah, that's my website. It has all of my services, and you can buy the book there. You can also buy it on Amazon. It pretty much shows you everything that I do and everything that is available. I love when I hear back from people who I do, like for example, if your listeners call to make an appointment, I really love that, because it shows that individual basically is interested in these subjects.
I know they'll be appreciated. Thanks so much for being on Energy Stew.
My pleasure. Good seeing you again.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heart river.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.